When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, well, well. Look who came crawling back to the Independent Republic. It's me, JJ, and this year Mike is away defending his blossoming concrete fields. So for one night only, I'm back in charge as your dictator. You're with Talk on TV, on radio, online, and on your smart speaker. Coming up, more problems for Angela Rayner. Police investigate multiple allegations about Labour's deputy leader with at least 12 officers on the job. Plus, calls to ban smacking. Doctors want parents to be barred from smacking their kids in England and Northern Ireland. And the scam on Swifties. Taylor Swift fans have already lost more than £1 million to con artists pretending to sell concert tickets. Good evening, Britain, and welcome to the Independent Republic of JJ. Once again, I've been handed the reins for Mike, and tonight, for one night only, it's my Independent Republic once again. We've got a busy hour to get through, including lawless Britain. Tesco has taken extreme measures to tackling shoplifting, and one store in Bristol won't even let you in until you've been seen on CCTV. Plus, actress Hannah Waddingham savagely hits back at a photographer who asked her to show a bit of leg on a red carpet. Did she overreact, or was she in the right on that one? And have you ever wondered who would win in a fight between the world's toughest animals? Me neither, but AI has given us the answer. Close the quarters and batten down the hatches. Let's set sail on the Independent Republic. In a blow to Labour, Angela Rayner is due to face a police probe over breaching electoral law and avoiding capital gains tax. The saga, which has run for weeks, will now be properly investigated, whilst Labour have kept a brave face, insisting they are fully confident their deputy leader has obeyed the law. Joining me in the studio is Communications Director of the Henry Jackson Society, Megan Guitos, editor of Spiked Online, Tom Slater, and Telegraph columnist Madeline Grant. Tom, Starmer thought this would blow over, didn't he? And yet, here we are, weeks later, it's still rolling.
Absolutely. After weeks and weeks and weeks of saying this is a non-story, it's still a story. It's becoming a bigger story because the police are actually properly investigating this now. I think it's just a reminder of how you've got to kind of live by... If you live by the sword, you die by the sword. The Labour Party have spent so much energy in recent years going after the Tories over some of their members' tax affairs, going after them over whether or not they broke lockdown rules, in some cases going after them because Rishi Sunak was caught not wearing a seatbelt once. And so now it's very easy for this to be weaponised against them. I don't like this way in which both parties are constantly reporting the other one to the police. I don't think that's a good use of police time, nor is it particularly edifying. But at the same time, you can't say that they're not getting a taste of their own medicine on this.
Snitches get stitches, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Madeline, 12 bobbies on this case. If I go out to my local co-op, because they're the ones who are most hit on the high street, and I steal a chicken tikka masala for the microwave dinner tonight. 12 cops are not going to come around looking for me. Why are 12 coppers investigating this?
That was my first thought when I heard 12. I thought, what are they all doing? It's like one of them's making coffee, the other's like printing off stuff, like an interning for the other 10 cops or whatever. I mean, I don't understand, but I think there's a sense of like what you get from the police is either massively underwhelming, literally nothing happens, you get something nicked. I've had friends recently where things have been stolen because of the wonders of modern technology. They can track exactly where their stolen iPhone is going. And you give all of that to the police, and then 3 weeks later you get a Weasley text saying, we've looked into this, sorry, we can't do anything. Or else it's like you do the most minor thing and, you know, you have, like, 12 officers at your throat or, like, for tweeting the wrong thing or, indeed, for investigating what, you know, may have been a breaking of electoral law or perhaps underpaying of tax, but doesn't seem to require such a massive team.
Yeah, and Rayner has said if she's broken the law, she'll resign. So, Megan, is that enough? Should this be case closed for now?
I don't like it when politicians say this and then they make the police a kind of, like, willing participant in the political football. Mm. However, with the 12 bodies, I have to assume that if it's 12, police have more than one investigation going at more than one time, because surely 12.
Yeah.
What would they all be doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I think, like you said, live by the sword, die by the sword. I think for a lot of people, this is just a case of modern political hypocrisy. And I don't think it's going to be enough. I think people will keep going. I think this would have died away for a few people, but with Angela Rayner being the attack dog, I think it might be a little more difficult for her.
But who looks worse in this? Sorry, that sounded a bit cockney. Who looks worse in this? Angela Rayner or the Tories? Because it's the Tories who have put the pressure on the popo. Yeah. That's what the kids call them. I'm pretty down with them. The Tories put the pressure on the popo. The police felt they had to reopen this investigation. They've now got 12 bobbies. For me, this is a waste of police time. It's a waste of police resources. That's the Tories' fault. That ain't Angela Rayner's fault.
It is, but she's the story now. I think that no one's going to remember the Tory party chairman. I forget who it is this week.
James Daly.
There we go. Thank you very much. No one's going to remember James Daly, you know, writing to Greater Manchester Police and instigating this. She's going to be on the front page. And there's a big problem for Labour just because of the fact that she was going to be seen as so central to their local election campaign. Mm-hmm. Unlike Keir Starmer, very much, does have the common touch, does have some way of connecting with people. So I think it is going to, for the whatever the rights and wrongs of it, and I think we're all more or less in agreement this is probably a overreaction late in the day from the police, and we shouldn't have really gone down this road in the first place. It has panned out worse for Labour in this case, I think.
But isn't this is just it, isn't it? This is, the Tories just see it as someone they need to take down because she's decent. People listen to her. She's much better than Keith Starmer. I'm calling him Keith because I don't respect him. That's why I'm calling him Keith, not Keir. So isn't this just the Tories going after someone who they think is going to do damage to them long term?
I think so. And I think in that sense, it does look very
petty.
It looks very petty. It also looks desperate. I mean, they don't have a lot of natural campaigners themselves on their side. But it's worked for now. That's the grim reality of it, I think.
So, Madeleine Sunak joined in today at PMQ's bashing Starmer, essentially, saying that he should spend less time reading Liz Truss's new book and focus on Deputy Leader Angela Rayner's tax advice. Fair comment. This is one of our former top prosecutors. He hasn't even looked at the evidence himself yet. A little bit strange.
I know. And this is the other thing. This is the other element of slight live by the sword because, you know, I'm sure your viewers probably have better things to do than watch PMQs every week, but it's my job, so I have to.
Yeah.
And it's rubbish. I wish it, sometimes the lines would change, but they never do. But one of the things that routinely crops up is Starmer invoking his time as director of public prosecutions.
Yes.
And other members of his team, when they're interviewed, they say he's so forensic, he's across everything, he's on top of the details. So the idea that he wouldn't have found time to read the tax advice, his line has been, I haven't seen it, but my members of my team have. You think he might have found, like, you know, 5 minutes in the day between being very forensic in other ways to maybe, like, read the 2 pages or whatever of tax advice? I mean, just saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Megan, if it's not the Tories attacking Starmer, it's his own MPs, Reg Duffield, basically calling the geezer a coward and saying, where were you when I was saying all that stuff about the trans debate and you were off hiding?
Yeah, I actually had this conversation with someone recently that in...
That Keir Starmer's a coward?
That currently...
No.
It's the Momentum crowd. They're actually the loudest critics of Starmer and I don't think sometimes on panel shows such as this one or alternative ones on different
This is more
channels.
Than just a panel show, mate, all right? There's a lot more to the show than
it's
just a panel.
It's a dictatorship.
It's a dictatorship, exactly.
You have certain left-wing media types that... you'd expect them to be very critical of the Tories, but they actually spend a lot of their time saying, and this is why Keir Starmer's bad, he flip-flops, he's not very principled. And, you know, we knew that Rosie Duffield was going to make this case, and I think she makes a very strong one. She was bullied out not bullied out, but she was bullied horrendously for many years. And you know, she's survivor of domestic abuse. She's championed women's rights. And I think she feels very betrayed by her own party.
But, Madeleine, Starmer has been cowardly when it comes to the trans debate. He could barely say what a woman is.
Yeah. And I think that was really opportunism or spinelessness, because I think he knows perfectly well what a woman is. I don't think that he truly believes this stuff, but he does tend to go whichever way the prevailing wind is blowing. And if this is one of those issues where, you know, I think that when it comes to the next general election, this is not top of the public priorities list. People are much more concerned about the economy, the NHS, and they absolutely despise the Conservative Party at the moment. So I don't think it will make a huge difference, but it does definitely tell you something about the man, about the judgment, and about the, I think, lack of being able to hold firm against a kind of trendy ideology or perhaps some particularly loud voices within his own party and do the right thing.
Let's move on to another story. Tom, Farage has been back in Brussels, back in his old stomping ground, but he's been silenced.
Yes, this was a crazy story that was breaking earlier this week, where at this National Conservatism conference where Farage was speaking, actually while he was speaking, the Belgian police rush in and say that the event has to be closed down. I think they eventually kind of relented and allowed the people who were still there to carry on, but the doors were bolted, speakers couldn't come in. I understand that this morning they actually managed to kind of win a legal case to overturn that order that had been issued to them to shut it down. But it basically seems that a kind of game of whack-a-mole was going on with this conference. Originally, the mayor of all of Brussels wanted to shut it down, put pressure on the venue. That didn't work. Then the kind of mayors of the separate kind of municipalities in the city were trying to, and then eventually the one actually succeeded, actually sent in the police to shut this down. And whatever you think of some of the speakers who were there, I know that Suella Braverman was also there, also various kind of conservative to quite radical right figures. This is a matter of freedom of speech. These people should be allowed to hold their conference, and if people disagree with them, they should show up and tell them why they disagree with them. I don't know why this is always the reflex. And the fact that the police were sent in, that just makes it so much more sinister.
But Cruella Braverman, I did say Cruella Braverman, she wanted to ban people from freedom of speech, didn't she, on our streets of London? She didn't want people to go out and protest for the pro-Palestine. And yet here she is saying that she shouldn't have those same rules applied to her.
I mean, the Tories have been really inconsistent on matters of freedom and liberal values. I mean, look at their kind of crackdowns on protests, which really began with the lockdown, and then it kind of continued on under the guise of going after Extinction Rebellion. So in some ways, they haven't got a leg to stand on. But at the same time, I think we could point out hypocrisy all day. It's still, none of these restrictions should exist. And I think that's the thing that's worth.
Well, you know what, you guys, Megan, Tom, Madeleine, you are always welcome in this independent republic to say whatever you want. Almost anything you want. Anyway, moving on. Harry Cole returns this evening with Nevermind the Ballots. And tonight's special guest is Conservative MP and former Migration Minister Robert Jenrick. Here's a little flavour of what you can expect.
Robert, some of your colleagues, especially Suella Braverman, your old Home Office colleague, have been in Brussels this week trying to attend what seems to be a little bit strange but perfectly peaceful conference, and the Belgian cops turned up armed and heavy. What do you make of that?
I thought it was chilling. Look, in a democracy, you don't have to agree with someone's opinions to allow them to make those arguments, and it seemed like a Putin-esque tactic to send in the police to close down a meeting of elected politicians discussing important issues. These people, as you say, you may not agree with them, but they're speaking for millions of people across the continent of Europe who are concerned about mass migration, believe in the family, are concerned about the reach of international, multinational organisations like the European Union. These are legitimate arguments that should be able to be heard, and this seems like appalling overreach by the Brussels mayor.
I mean, what strikes me as slightly strange is the very same people that are saying this sort of event shouldn't go on because Viktor Orban is turning up are the same people that seem to say we should rejoin the EU, but also where Hungary are a member. So if you don't want to go to a meeting with Viktor Orban, surely you shouldn't be going to the EU Council, right?
Well, quite. I think this mayor of Brussels has allowed all sorts of other individuals to come into the city and to speak. I think there was the someone from the Tehran regime in Iran who sounds like an unsavoury character. But I believe in freedom of speech. That is one of our great Western values, and we should defend it. And that means allowing people to say things that you don't agree with.
Well, very, very interesting. You can join Harry Cole, Robert Jenrick and former Prime Minister Liz Truss at 8 p.m. tonight for Never Mind the Ballots. You are watching The Independent Republic of JJ Nisjobi. Coming up next, doctors warn that smacking your kids leads to a cycle of violence. So, should it be banned? We'll find out next. Smacking your kids should be illegal, according to the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health. They're calling for ministers to close a loophole that allows parents in England and Northern Ireland to use physical force against kids if it can be justified as a reasonable punishment. They claim that their report found being smacked as a kid can lead to a cycle of violence. Well, that may be the case for kids who are beaten up and roundly abused by degenerate parents, but we all know that isn't the case for the majority of parents who smack their children. Let's not overreact here. We're not stupid. There's a huge difference between a gentle smack on the bottom or slap on the wrist compared to, I don't know, punching a child with full force. Huge difference. All I see these days when I look at the younger generations are a bunch of molly-coddled softies, a group of whining, oppressed brats who are told routinely by mummy and daddy, you could be anything you want, dear, you're the best. And they don't have to work hard. They don't know how to face adversity. They can't take criticism. They don't respect the rules. You're feeling stressed. You're feeling angry, darling. Oh, you've probably got mental health issues, sweetie. I'm not suggesting that smacking should be the first resort, but a gentle smack to discipline your child is absolutely permitted and the government should stay out of it. To suggest that all of us who were smacked and all of our parents, all of our grandparents who were smacked and grew up to be normal, well-socialised citizens actually have been mentally damaged is absolute tosh. And where does the government draw the line? If I'm going to play fight with my son and I throw him in the air and I do a wrestling move and slam him into the sofa, is that considered too aggressive? Should the government tell me to stop playing with my son? Again, I say those poor kids who are being raised by parents who are doing more than a gentle tap, bad parents, of course, those children should be protected. Protected by all of us, not just the government. But for the rest of us, leave us to parent our kids ourselves. Joining me now to discuss this is social commentator Keith Fraser and broadcaster Afia Hagen. Afia, I'll start with you. Obviously, your parents, both from Ghana, but you were raised in Scotland. I'm presuming you were given the odd little tap on the hand, the odd smack on the bottom when you were growing up, correct?
I actually wasn't. Not
what?
That I can remember.
Bad
Maybe
parenting,
my mom
Afia.
Will tell you a
Terrible
different
parenting.
Story. Well, no, I don't think so, because I think it's up to each parent how they decide they want to parent their children. Now, I have a daughter. I've never smacked her. I don't think I ever will have to. And I'm kind of the belief that if you... I mean, it's not about instilling the fear of God into your children, right? But if they have enough respect for you, they know that you're not one of their little friends, they know that you are their parent, then you shouldn't need to smack them. You shouldn't need to. And I know, obviously, not all children are the same, and some children do need a firmer hand. As for that, I cannot disagree with that, definitely. But I think it's all about the parenting. We've discussed this before many times, JJ. It's about how you properly parent your children. Now, for me, I think I'm pretty lucky that my daughter's pretty good, and I don't need to smack her, and I hope I never will. And I'm kind of one of these parents that I don't think smacking is necessary if you've instilled enough respect in your child that you don't need to do that. But I accept all children are not the same, and I accept that everybody has their parenting style. It's just not my parenting style.
Right, OK, fair dues. Keith Fraser, in the studio with me. First of all, thank you for missing the first half of the Arsenal game tonight to be here with us. I much appreciate that.
You have to say that, JJ. My street cred is going right out the window now.
I appreciate it. Were you smacked as a kid?
When
I say smack, yes. I literally mean a little clip here and there.
Look, I was probably smacked on the bottom. I wouldn't say that I was traumatised by anything in particular. But I would say that my parents were very much old school. We live in a different society today. One of the things they say about the study is because it creates mental health issues and, of course, a violent person afterwards. Well, I've got to tell you something. From what I know, it seems that in my parents' era, that society was a lot less violent than it is today.
Correct.
Knife crime, gun crime, et cetera, et cetera. So does a little smack really matter? Now, I've got to say, I am not an advocate of smacking. I don't believe, and if he's watching at home, my boy will be able to correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe I've ever smacked him. in a way of telling him off. But I have studied psychoanalysis in the form of Eric Byrne's transaction analysis. Not many people will have heard of this.
Oh, I know. I love this. This is in your book, Cajones.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I've read. It's very good. But tell us about transactional analysis.
Yes, transactional analysis is an extension of Freudian psychoanalysis. And it's... I can't go into huge detail now, but there isn't time. But the bottom line is that if you want a certain behaviour, when the behaviour happens, you give that behaviour a stroke, or in layman's terms, an acknowledgement. Now, a stroke can be positive or negative. And what they say is that a smack or some kind of negative acknowledgement actually reinforces the behaviour. Mm-hmm. So, and they do say that by doing nothing or speaking in a very sort of calm and almost like a computerised type of voice will get you the effect that you want, i.e. by staying completely in a neutral fashion, the behaviour will go away. It's a bit like somebody who's desperate for attention. If you don't show them attention, then eventually they'll get the message. But if you stroke that attention, be that telling them off, i.e. a negative acknowledgement, you will end up getting the same repetitive kind of behaviour.
So, Afia, you were nodding just there with what Keith was saying, but the first part he said, very interesting, look at the streets today. Look at knife crime, look at gangs, look at kids stealing bikes, stealing mobile phones. I would wager that a lot of those kids were not parented properly and didn't get a smack on the bottom and told off when they were doing bad things.
No, you're probably right about that. And yeah, you know, we do live in a completely different society from 40 years ago where things are much more violent. But again, this is about parenting our children. Are we letting our children out on the streets at night to be involved in these kind of things? We should be parenting them better, knowing where they are, knowing what they're up to. And it's really interesting that study, you know, saying that perhaps if there's a bad behavior and you give them a stroke, as it were, and it reinforces that bad behavior and it's more likely to happen, you know, that calm approach, which can be very difficult when a child is stressing you out, when they're being naughty as well, just to be very calm, is actually really insightful. Because if you think, if you're just super calm, they will calm down, the behavior will go away. You know, I think that that is a better way of doing things. But like I said, everybody has their parental style. And we've got so many more factors, you know, in today's world, as well as, you know, kids being more violent, perhaps knife crime, gun crime. We've also got social media to contend with. What are kids seeing in video games? What are they seeing online? But it's all about being more attentive. You know, we all have jobs, we're all working. It's difficult to be there 24/7 for our children, but we do have to parent them in the best way possible. And we'd hope that by doing that, we negate these behaviours so you don't need to smack them in the first place.
But Afia, my issue with it is that I don't think having a little tap on the wrist or tap on the bottom is going to make my kid grow up to be an angry, violent person. And the government should not be interfering and telling me how to parent my kid how I see fit, if I'm not doing the child real harm, which I don't think we are. And then where do you draw the line? Because if you send your kid to the bedroom, for example, you say, right, you're grounded, you're going to stay in your bedroom for the next 2 hours, no TV, nothing's going to sit there. Well, then next you'll be having these lefties saying, that's like putting your child in solitary confinement. That's going to give them mental health issues too.
I don't think it's about being on the left or on the right. And there has been studies actually that I've read that say that putting your child like in a bedroom for 2 hours, saying, you know, that's you, you're on a timeout, can be just as harmful. What I think this is about, and you made a point there about the government and about the government perhaps setting guidelines, outlawing what we can or cannot do when it comes to parenting. Look, there's a lot of that around at the moment, the smoking ban. It was a huge story yesterday, and it's all about, you know, libertarians. Should we have the freedom to pick up bag habits, to smack our children, all that kind of stuff? You know, it depends on what kind of society we think we live in. Is it about being liberal? But is it about being liberal with everything? I think, you know, we're kind of getting into semantics here. Are we going to pick and choose what we're liberal about or not? Because if we're going to ban smoking, so people under the age of 15 will never be able to smoke, then yes, you are going to have to ban smacking as well and all these other things. Or if we're going to be completely liberal, then we let people start smoking if they want, we let people smack their children. You know, we cannot pick and choose about what issues we're going to be liberal about. Either we're liberal about everything or we'll live about nothing and we put rules in. Like I said, everybody has their parenting style and everybody has to pick that. Smacking's not mine. And I'm not saying that a tap on the wrist or a tap on the bum is going to make someone grow up to be a violent criminal. I don't think so. But you do have these exceptions where you do have kids, you know, rocking up to A&E that have had damage done to them by their parents that have been over-enthusiastic with their smacking. And those children, I think, need to be protected.
Those kids need to be protected, absolutely. But then this law change will do nothing for them, because if parents are going to smack their kids to that extent, they're going to do this whether this law exists or not. But Keith, coming to you very quickly, how could a smacking ban actually be enforced? If you're going to, if I'm at home and I smack my kid on the bottom, what's he going to do?
Well, it would be ridiculous, wouldn't it, if a kid just phones 999 and said, my parents just smacked me. Listen, the government needs to get real on some proper issues rather than how to teach people to parent. At the end of the day, there are many people out there who shouldn't be parents, in my opinion. I see it out and about a lot and think, how the hell are they parents?
Yeah.
And there are some in the public eye, by the way, but I won't mention names on here. Look, the best way to deal with these things is your own style, but the best and most effective way, and it's not always possible, sometimes you can't help yourself, context, danger, etc.
Yeah.
You can't always prepare for those situations, but the best way, and someone laughed at me at a political hustings once when I said that the best way is a bit like the way you train your dog, positive reinforcement. Mm-hmm. You treat the good behaviour and you try and ignore the bad.
Yeah, good point. Afia Hagen, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And Keith Fraser, thank you very much for your time also, and good luck to you and those losers' Arsenal. You are watching the Independent Republic of JJ and Isiobe. Coming up, more nanny state nonsense from the government. They want access to your bank accounts. Find out why next.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back. You're watching the Independent Republic of JJ on Talk TV. And now it's time for this.
The World of Woke.
The taxpayer loses out on over 8 billion quid a year to benefit error and fraud. And I'm sure we are all agreed that that's an embarrassment and a waste. But what's even more embarrassing is the government trying to bring in legislation that would allow banks to monitor the accounts of people claiming benefits, sneaking it in as a late-stage amendment to the Data Protection and Digital Information Bill, as if nobody would even notice. Well, I've noticed, and I'm telling you, this ain't a solution. It's a scary step in the wrong direction for our wonderful country. See, the Department for Work and Pensions wants new powers to require banks to trawl the accounts of state benefit recipients, including those who receive pension and working tax credits. Powers that civil liberties group Big Brother Watch denounce as Orwellian. I say it's even worse than Orwellian. It's the kind of thing you'd expect from the Chinese Communist Party. At the moment, only people named as being suspected of fraud can have their data checked by the DWP, but under the new proposals, the UK's top 15 banks would continuously monitor accounts and automatically flag suspicious activity to the government. Here's what the DWP had to say for themselves. Big Brother Watch's claims that DWP will use these measures to reveal information about people's movements, opinions, and medical information are entirely false. These measures will require third parties to provide only limited, relevant information that may signal whether benefits are being improperly paid. It does not give DWP access to anyone's bank account or see how claimants are spending their money. Sure. Sure thing, guys. We'll take the government's word for it that they'll treat benefit claimants just fine. Just like the WASPI women. Just like the victims of the Post Office Horizon scandal. Look, obviously, we need to make sure people aren't taking the mic with their benefits claims, like that Bulgarian gang that pocketed 50 million quid over the course of 5 years. Fine. But this policy lets the government tar everyone with the same brush and use suspicion as an excuse for surveillance. Mass surveillance. 1984's been and gone. Let's not start taking lessons from Orwell right now.
The world of woke.
And now, Taylor Swift fans have been swindled out of more than £1 million by scammers flogging fake tickets for her current tour. Lloyds Bank has reported more than 600 of their customers have lost, on average, £300 each. Joining me now is showbiz journalist Rebecca Toomey. Rebecca, why have the Swifties been swindled so bad?
Well, I think part of it is just a desperation for the very loyal and very many, very numerous Taylor Swift fans. But the Eras Tour has been hugely popular. And what happens a lot of the time is that there's this huge surge and people can't always get the tickets they want. And obviously, scammers have seen this as a brilliant opportunity to start creating fake websites where people are paying on average, I think the average amount they've lost is just over £300, to secure tickets that don't actually exist. But what's quite interesting in this is that because of the huge passion and the huge enthusiasm there is for Taylor Swift, a lot of the fans feel that, you know, going to see her live is really a true accolade of how passionate they are about being a, what's called a Swiftie, which is a Taylor Swift superfan, for those who don't know. And a lot of these scammers are actually targeting Facebook groups, fan groups, and posing as other fans where they, you know, they talk. You know, it's quite a sophisticated con in some circumstances where they'll start befriending people, talking about Taylor Swift, and then saying, oh, I've got tickets to sell. So it's not always as clear-cut and as obvious as people would say, oh, well, hang on, that website looks a bit dodgy, because also the websites look incredibly sophisticated. But one thing I wanted to say to you, JJ, is actually we're in a bit of a cost of living crisis, and yet the average price is around £200 for a Taylor Swift ticket. So it just beggars belief, really, how people are finding the money to actually afford to go to a concert these days, because they just seem so expensive.
Yeah, these Swifties sound like absolute idiots, if I'm honest. One, you're going to pay £200 minimum to go and watch Taylor Swift. No thanks, no interest in that. But two, someone chats to you on Facebook and says, hey, Swifty, I've got some spare tickets, want to buy them? And you think, yeah, yeah, this seems legit. These are idiots, Rebecca. They've only themselves to blame.
I think that's quite harsh sometimes because some of these comments are very sophisticated. Now, I mean, with Taylor Swift, I think it's sometimes that people's, shall we say, it could be sometimes classified as hysteria for Taylor Swift to get these tickets can perhaps might make them a bit more cloudy with their judgment when they're purchasing tickets. Yeah, but, you know, idiots. With a lot of cons, you know, when people's banks give them emails, you know, that look very, very much
Rebecca,
like, you know,
let me tell you, let me tell you, if someone messages me on Facebook saying, hey, this is your bank, do you want to send us your details? I'd be like, no, you idiots. Absolute ridiculous. Is there any way to stop these ticket scammers? Other than saying to Taylor Swift fans, only buy your tickets from official websites, Live Nation and others are available. Only buy from those. What else can you do to stop the scammers? Apart from common sense, well, how else can we stop this happening?
Yeah, I think common sense should be exercised. But I think when you're looking at the kind of demographic of real Swifties, there might be sort of a bit of a younger audience, shall we say. I mean, there's things that Ed Sheeran has done in previous times where he's withdrawn tickets when he found that some, they weren't scammers per se, but they were companies that were making, adding on huge fees at the end of the checkout. So someone would be buying four tickets for, say, just say £200, and it would double at the checkout. So Ed Sheeran actually withdrew tickets to prevent that from happening. So there might be something to do with that where the artists get more involved. But really, when it's making Taylor Swift loads of money, I'm not sure whether her and her team will do that. So really, I think it's about awareness. It's actually quite good that Lloyds have come out, you know, today to say this, because I think hopefully people just should be much more careful.
Taylor Swift, isn't she a billionaire these days?
Yeah, she's absolutely minted. I mean, basically, going on tours is where a lot of artists get their money, but Taylor Swift does not need any more money. She could, you know, lend me £1 million and I'd be very happy.
Well, then, if Taylor loves her Swifties, so much, as she always goes on about them. Reimburse them yourself. Split £300 per person who's been scammed. Taylor, do that. Anyway, let's move on. Hannah Waddington. What's all this fuss about her legs?
Oh, right. Well, she was quite upset when someone asked her to show a bit more leg. But what was actually happening is she was hosting the London Theatre Awards on Sunday evening, and she looked absolutely stunning on the red carpet. She was wearing a long dress with a higher split. And one of the photographers at the event, it appeared that he asked her to show some leg for his shot. And she didn't react very positively. She actually said, well, you'd never say that to a man. And the footage that's been shown, that was taken by a fan, she does sort of look quite upset, and she does appear to sort of walk off in quite a, you know, I wouldn't say storm off, but she does look quite annoyed in this. And I think it's just her sort of reasserting herself as a serious actress. She was the host of the night. And I don't think in that moment, even though she looked absolutely glamorous and really, really beautiful, I don't think she wanted to be sexualized in that moment. But it just feels like a bit of an odd exchange to have on the red carpet when she was there in that moment to be photographed.
Yeah, like, I mean, maybe saying, show us some leg, darling, maybe that's a bit archaic, understandably.
Yes.
But she knows the game well. She wasn't wearing a tuxedo. She wore a dress with a high split. She can say that, you want to say that to a man. Yes, because most men don't go out wearing dresses with thigh-high splits. So, of course, you wouldn't say it to a man. But if I turn up to the red carpet with a thigh-high split up my dress, they probably would say
that. I'd love to see that,
JJ. Nobody needs to see that. It's a horrible image. Get it out of your heads. But if I did do that, I imagine the paps would say, show us a bit of leg, JJ. And then what, I should be offended by that? Don't wear the dress then.
Well, I think anyone who's got experience on red carpets, who've ever seen it, what does happen is photographers do, even in their pen, even on an organised event on the red carpet, they do shout out the celebrity's name. They're all competing to get the best shot. So they will say things and do things to try and get the celebrity to face them so they get the better shot. I think where it crossed the line quite a few years ago, and the laws have changed around paparazzi shots of celebrities, is where they were upskirting, you know, photographers were taking pictures up celebrities' skirts, which was, you know, incredibly wrong. Although often as well, in order to get the story, they would goad celebrities. So they would say offensive things to get certain reactions, and then they would keep photographing. So thankfully, I think that era has been dying out, but maybe Hannah's a bit more sensitive around this. I'm not really entirely sure why, but just given the history with paparazzi and celebrities, perhaps that's just something she feels very strongly about.
Perhaps. Let's move on to Prince Harry. Word on the street is that he is making the US his primary residence. Is he saying goodbye to Britain?
I mean, he said goodbye to Britain a few years ago with Megxit. And I think what's happened now is, in filings published on Companies House, it's now official that he's listing the US as his main residency, which obviously doesn't open up any opportunity really for him to come home. But on a bigger scale with Prince Harry, is that if he's based in the US, if the king was, you know, ever to have to step down and look to, Harry to help out, he might not necessarily be able to do this. There's lots of sort of royal laws around this and who can step in. And Prince Andrew is still sort of not removed from that list. And the thinking behind that was that King Charles didn't want to cause any more tension and rupture in the family by actively removing Prince Andrew and his, you know, son, Prince Harry, from that list. So it's almost, it feels at the moment like a complicated chess game, but a bit of ping pong as well, in that, you know, Harry, as we know, is still, you know, in exile effectively and still not in a good, you know, situation with his family. So this feels like another sort of stab that he might not be able to support his father or his brother, Prince William, and when they need it.
He stepped down from the royal family. He stepped back. His main residence is in Montecito. This makes perfect sense to me. Of course, some of our friends and colleagues in this industry are going to whip this up into a storm and say it's a final stab at Britain. But Prince Harry, he lives in the US. That's his primary residence. Fair play to him. Rebecca Toomey, Showbiz Expert, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
You are watching the Independent Republic of JJ. ULEZ outrage. Motorists claim they are being fined for not paying their ULEZ charge by cameras that have identified the wrong car. More on that next.
Yeah!
Welcome back. You're watching The Independent Republic of JJ here on Talk TV. Now, accusing someone of playing the race card is itself racist. A judge has ruled. The ruling was made in a tribunal involving a black soldier who sued the Ministry of Defence. Dwight Pyle Gray says his 16-year army career was brought to an end following a row at a guard room in which a white guard didn't believe that he was actually a soldier. When he challenged the soldier, he was accused of playing the race card. Now, let's bring in my panel, Megan, Keith and Maddie. Keith, tell me more about this story, if you can.
Well, from what I read, OK, he tried to get into the barracks without uniform, OK? And the way I see it, and I think there's an element of truth in it. If you use the race card and you accuse someone of using the race card, I think therefore it can be construed as racist. However, from the story that I read, it seems that the guy didn't know who he was. He wasn't wearing a uniform. It actually reminds me of a story. I don't know if you remember reading about it. Roger Federer.
Yeah.
7 times Wimbledon champion.
Yeah.
And even if you win it once, you get membership to the All England Club for life. He couldn't get in to the Wimbledon Club one day. Mm. They didn't recognise him. Yeah. Now, he could have said, oh, you're anti-Swiss. But the truth is, they didn't recognise him. How you can work with him and not recognise Roger Federer? But, look, the guy didn't have a uniform on and maybe there are certain security situations which came into play. However, I do think if you start using that language at somebody and accusing them of using a race card, then I think there are some racial connotations there.
Yeah. Yeah, Madeline, isn't this like me? You complain about me in the Independent Republic saying that actually, JJ, you're a sexist and misogynistic dictator. And I say, I don't want to hear any more from you birds about this and that. Yeah. I don't want to hear about the sexism card. It's kind of the same thing, right?
Well, I mean, I think it would be a very bad idea to start criticising someone in their own legal dictatorship. I mean, that sounds risky business to me, and I'm not sure I'd try it. No, to be honest, I think with these sorts of things, it's so hard to understand the precise motivation of someone, what motivates them to say something,
yeah,
if you weren't there. Because even two people who were there might have a completely different interpretation of the events. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a shame that we now, I think, exist in a world where everything is a bit more bad faith than it used to be. Mm-hmm. The assumption does tend to be that there was some malign interpretation of everything. And even something like the very recent phenomenon of so-called microaggressions,
yeah,
which can basically is judged on how your action made somebody else feel, regardless of what your intent was. You know, I find that this is all going, and I think a slightly judgmental outcome and is actually probably going to make people, I think, rub along worse than they used to in the past.
Yeah. Megan, you're nodding along. You're nodding along. You completely agree with everything
Madeline's saying? I actually hugely agree with both of them. I think I would never, no matter the situation, ever accuse someone of playing a card. I just wouldn't. Whatever they... Sometimes people do automatically judge, automatically think your decisions or comments you might have made, they take them in bad faith. I think there is a racist element to that. Personally, in my opinion, I can't think of a scenario where it's OK to accuse someone of playing the race card.
Uh-huh.
Given especially the life experiences of that person dealing with racism. However, talking about an army barrack, it's got to be secure.
Yeah. Do any of you three drive? No?
This is terrible. I can't drive.
You can't drive?
Yeah.
And Megan, you can't drive either. Keith, it's just you then.
Passenger I do princess. Drive, yes.
Right.
Thank you, Keith.
So there's ULEZ fines being wrongly given out. This is just a disaster for Sadiq Khan, isn't it? This continues.
Well, you know what? Sadiq Khan has come up. There's so much criticism about this whole ULEZ expansion, and quite rightly so, because it's really hurt a lot of people who are just trying to make a living. However, reading this story about all these fines that are ending up in people's letterboxes when they don't even know what they're there for, I'm starting to realise now. I had a speeding ticket come through the letterbox the other day, 24 and a 20. I've had parking tickets. I'm thinking, is something happening here? Maybe they're not actually real. So, you know, because at the end of the day, you know as well as I do that councils and London and everywhere, poor motorist is getting hammered and it's not fair.
Yeah. Madeline, you think we're going to see the end of ULEZ ever? We've got the, what they call the Blade Runners, who take down the ULEZ cameras. You've got mistakes like this happening. No one in this city of London is happy about ULEZ.
No, they're not. And it's you know, it's backfired spectacularly on the mayor for sure. And my favourite have been these people who've put up, is it bird boxes or something, on top of the ULEZ or next to it?
Yep.
Because according to some like arcane bit of environmental regulation, legally you can't touch the bird boxes.
Right. Yeah, they're protected.
Which is nuts, isn't it? But I quite like the way that they're playing the insanely complicated system against one of the people responsible for that system, namely the mayor. but it certainly doesn't make you want to drive. It's definitely... I certainly don't look around at the poor London motorist who's being absolutely fleeced to pay to cover up the financial failings of TfL and think, oh, actually, I think I'll get a car and I'll bite the bullet and learn to drive.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you. You can keep your job here in The Independent. Megan, Tesco, is this gone? They've gone too far? They're saying, well, some of the stores now, you can't enter until you've had your face checked on CCTV.
It's interesting.
It's like a nightclub.
No, it's interesting you say that. Because I actually grew up in an area where that was the same for every local shop.
Really?
Every time you went in...
You grew up in Croydon?
No, I actually grew up somewhere very similar, a council estate, just outside of Portsmouth.
Oh, OK.
And just when you went into the local one stop or the best one or anything like that, you literally weren't allowed in. It was two in, two out, kind of like COVID days, because there was just so much crime in the area I grew up in. So this, we have like a shoplifting epidemic. It's affecting all of our purses. I know it's individual liberties and things like that, but it's we have to do something. And if Tesco wants to do this and you don't like it, shop at Sainsbury's.
I blame the supermarkets themselves for this. I'll tell you why. Tesco last year made profit before tax of nearly 2.3 billion quid. You know how much they spent with these other markets, with 10 other supermarkets? They've banded together to do some special CCTV stuff to try and stop criminals. They paid 600,000 towards it. Mm. So you had like Sainsbury's, Waitrose, Co-op, John Lewis, Tesco, Next, £600,000 each. You're making 2.3 billion quid. Instead of doing £600,000 there, hire proper security guards. Yeah. Get ex-army guys. I go into my Tesco, some old guy, an Asian guy who doesn't really want to be there, is playing on his phone, and they do nothing. Hire some proper, tough security, like we do here in the Republic.
I agree with you, JJ. I mean, yeah. But having said that, this country, we are supposed to be a country of law and order. Well, the police don't care less, do they? Apparently, you know, when Tesco's and other retailers complain to the police, they don't even bother opening up a file. They literally just, you know, wash their hands off it. At the end of the day, this country is going down the drain. We need proper police enforcement. It shouldn't be up to the business to have to provide security when the police won't even open up a file.
Madeline, you go down some fancy roads in central London, past Tiffany's and Dior, and they've got $100,000 jewellery in there. You've got proper security guards. You haven't got some nobody. You've got proper security guards to that side. That's what Tesco should be doing now, isn't it?
Well, I think the reason that they have those security guards in those shops is because, you know, if things get lost, the penalty for the business, you know, if you steal a pair of diamond earrings, they're taking a massive financial hit. So it probably makes sense. But to have really tough, well-paid security guards in every single shop is very expensive. And I think I agree with Keith that it's quite sad that this is necessary, in the same way that it's quite sad when you go to a supermarket and you see that butter and cheese are behind a security tag.
That's very true.
And you know, the thing about the security guards is...
Madeline, I'd love to continue, but we've run out of time. And I can guarantee the safety of all three of you whilst you are here in the Independent Republic. That is all from me tonight. You've been watching the Independent Republic of JJ. Huge thank you to my guests. Mike is back tomorrow at 8 p.m. only on Talk TV. Good night.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.